Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hi, this is Lee Keckner, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Wondery Sunset Studio in West Hollywood, California. Now, today's story is brought to us from Lee Keckner. Now, you guys know Lee as a writer and as an inspirational teacher, and she's also the amazing mother of five. That's right, five. And she's married to actor and comedian Dave Keckner. And I only mention that because Dave is actually the star of the story today. And I can say that because I know the title of the episode, which is How I Met My Husband. Unless, of course, she has another husband. Anyway, everybody has this story. I mean, if you've been married or you are married, then you have this story, how I met my husband, how I met my wife. I happen to have two of these stories because I've been married twice. Now, the first husband I met in a bar, I was underage. I was 19. He was a musician in the bar. He was 31. Is that disgusting? Because to me, to this day, that really grosses me out. You know what I mean? Like, not what I saw in him. I get that. I'm in an underage bar, and he's sending me pitchers of beer over. You know what I mean? I get that. I'm a kid, right? But he's 31. Like, what are you doing with a teenager? I was a teenager. Anyway, that grosses me out. Here's what he did, though, Sergio. He took me to Red Lobster, and he bought me daiquiris and showed me how to peel a lobster. You see what I mean? You see the maturity level? See what I was dealing with? I didn't get my own daiquiri. Again, I was underage. He let me sip on his, but it was very mature to me. All right. Fast forward. I think like 20 flipping years. No, fast forward. I don't know. 15 years later, I meet my second husband. Now, this is more reasonable. This is out here in California. And I met him at a coffee shop doing comedy. It was actually very sweet. I saw him week after week at the same gig. Turns out we were neighbors. That doesn't happen very often, does it? You end up marrying your neighbor. How often does that happen? Not that often. Then you fast forward 12 more years, you divorce that person. And guess what? We're neighbors again. That's right. We live about a block apart. Okay. Oh, by the way, that one, the second husband, he was 8 years younger. So I've married 12 years older. I've married 8 years younger. You don't know what could happen the third time, Sergio. You don't know. And by the way, gay marriage is legal everywhere, so anything could happen. You don't know me. All right, you guys. Before we bring our storyteller on, I did want to mention that I'd love if you guys could follow me on Twitter and Instagram, @Storyworthy. You see how I keep that simple, just the @Storyworthy. It's very simple. And feel free to shoot me an email at info@storyworthypodcast.com. And that is our website, storyworthypodcast.com. And if you could head over there before you shop on Amazon and click on our banner ad, that would be splendid. Did you hear me? Splendid. And don't forget to tell your friends about Storyworthy. That's easy enough, right? Doesn't cost you anything. You just say, hey, guess what I listened to this morning? Storyworthy. It was so fun. Yeah, it's like 15 minutes long. You hear this great story. It's quick. There's a quick beginning, a middle, end. We're in, we're out. It's wonderful. All right, you guys, let's hear the story, How I Met My Husband by Lee Keckner. You can find Lee at her website, absolutely.com. And check this out, absolutely. So the word absolute, and then Lee, LEIGH.com. Clever, right? And you can also find Lee on Twitter, @LeeKeckner. Without further ado, the fabulous, the charming Lee Keckner.
I would like to talk a little bit about how I met my husband. I lived in Los Angeles for 7 years, and I was a real wild ass. I liked to party a lot and make out. And I had down actually picking up and making out and getting drunk at bars down so hardcore that was my life. And that is what I enjoyed. I didn't like enjoying getting to know people. I didn't really want to talk. I just wanted to make out. So I would work and make out. And then when I hit 30, I was like, I kind of feel like I want to get married and have kids. And so I thought maybe I should stop just making out with people in bars. And maybe I should try and act like a lady and go on some dates. So I went on a couple dates. So I went on maybe 5 dates. And I thought to myself, the first person that asked me on a date, I'm going to say yes. and I'm going to go on a date and I'm not going to have sex. I'm just going to be like a normal person who wants to find their husband. So the first guy that asked me, you want to go on a date? I was like, of course I do. And I didn't want to at all. And it was a horrific date. And for 2 hours, I wanted to stab myself in the eyes with my fork that I was eating my pasta with no appetite, wondering why the hell I was there. And then that went on and on for a few times. And then I was like, all right. And I went to my higher power. And I don't care who your higher power is. And I'm not like a big preacher on that. But I go to mine sometimes when I'm stuck in a corner and I want to get the hell out. And the way I'm doing it by myself isn't working. So I went to God and I was like, hey, God, making out and getting drunk and making out isn't working. And having a lot of sex with people that I don't care about isn't working. And going on dates and trying isn't working. I need some help. And what I'm asking for is a guy who's tall, who's smart, who's funny and kind-hearted. And I was actually who's smarter than me. I'm not really greatly smart, but I wanted somebody like my dad who could teach me a lot of stuff because I didn't really like to read or anything. So anyway, I got really specific and I said, and God, when I meet him, I need a big red arrow that says this is him so I don't drink too much or act like an ass and chase him off. So that was my game plan, and it was right before Christmas in 96, and I flew home to Kansas to see my parents, and I went with my brother Patrick, who lives here in Hollywood, and we flew home, and we did Christmas, and we were going back to Los Angeles for Christmas Eve, and we were sitting in the airport, and I had out, I usually say my novel, but since my husband might be listening, I had out my People magazine, and I was reading it, and I saw Dave walk into the airport terminal in Kansas. And I looked over and I saw a tall guy with a bald head and broad shoulders and a really cool leather jacket and cool boots. And I was like, I like everything about how that guy looks, everything about him. And I went back to my magazine and my brother Patrick goes, oh my gosh. And it was Vanguard, which was the only airline that was like Southwest that flew from Kansas to LA, the only one that flew direct. And so my husband was in line to get his number and he was kind of really late and Pat and I were first. So we had A's and we were sitting down and Pat goes, oh my gosh, Lee, and hit me and pointed behind him. Do you know Dave Koechner? And I looked at him and I was like, no, but I was thinking like Kansas State University or right. Overland Park, Kansas, my high school. And I go, no, I don't know him. But I was like, how funny that that's a guy I think is cute. And my brother goes, why are you in Kansas? And he's like, I'm from Missouri. I came home to see my folks. And he's like, why are you flying to LA and not New York? Because my brother's a crazy SNL fan and he's never missed an episode. And my husband was on SNL that year. So Pat recognized him from that. I don't watch that show. So Patrick was like, Dave Koechner, and they had this big conversation, and Dave went and got his number and sat kind of over there away from us. And then my brother goes, Lee, do you have any celebrities coming to your New Year's Eve party? And I said, no, but I actually usually had like a B or C list person, like Scott Baio, or one time I had Charles Barkley, and that was kind of back in his heyday. That was a fun one. So I would always have someone. I said, no, actually I don't. He goes, well, go ask Dave. He's like, you know, go get Dave. And I was like, all right. So I took my business card and on the back, I was working in post-production. I put festive attire, 830, my address. And I walked over and said, excuse me, Dave. Patrick said I should invite you to my New Year's Eve party. And Dave was like, and Patrick is your, and I go, he's my brother. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll be at your party. And I gave him my card and I noticed his mouth pulls down in the corner. And I thought, wow, that must be hard to live with that. I bet he's had a stroke. So I said, you know, I wanted to tell you that I noticed your mouth pulls down and you should totally not be self-conscious about that. It was like you had a stroke, but I think it's darling. And then Dave said, I haven't had a stroke. And I said, all right, well, it's great to meet you. I'm going to go back by Patrick. And so we went and got on the airplane and sat down. And my brother saved him a seat because he was like last coming on the plane and we had an open seat between us. And my brother's like, Dave, back here. And Dave looked and was like, I'm going to sit by a fan for 3.5 hours. Well, his sister's pretty cute. All right, I'll go. So he sat in between. No, he sat on the end and Patrick was in the middle and I was inside. And as soon as we got on and Dave and I kind of looked at each other and started talking over Patrick. And as we were talking, I felt 100% all of me. Oh my gosh, it's you. You're my husband. Oh my gosh. Like I could feel it. I could see in his eyeballs. I liked everything about him. I was like, it's Patrick. And so I went back to my magazine, not quite knowing what to do because I cared. Normally I just drank a lot and made out. So I was just like, oh my gosh. And so I was looking at my magazine and we kept kind of talking over and Patrick goes, Dave, are you attracted to my sister? He goes, because I've never seen her act this way. He goes, buddy, you're going to be around for a long time. And I was like, that was my big arrow. I'm not going to drink. And so I totally knew it was my husband. And then my brother said, this is your husband. And we talked the rest of the flight. And then my husband, Dave, said, Patrick, would you switch seats with me so I could sit by your lovely sister? And he did. And we talked the whole way. And when we landed, Patrick said, so Dave, how are you getting home? And he said, I'm taking a cab, because he was still kind of in the New York state of mind. And Pat goes, we'll drive you. So I had driven my Jetta. So I dropped Pat off. And as we went up Laurel Canyon, we passed this restaurant that people go to and eat salads and have babies. And he goes, we're going to eat there one day. And I said, oh, I thought, I know we are, because you're my husband. So when we dropped him off, he kissed my hand or my forehead. That was something that was so sweet. And the next day I went to work, and I have really severe ADD, and I couldn't remember his name. And I was like, I met the hottest guy on the plane. I fucking love him. He's my husband. I know. And the girl, what's his name? I was like, I don't know. So we were calling him Airplane. So then the receptionist answered, and she's like, it's an airplane. And I got the phone, and he said, I just wanted to tell you how grateful I am I was on that flight. And I said, me too. And he said, I look forward to your party tomorrow night. And he showed up, and we're together ever since.
Okay, how adorable was that story? And Dave and Lee, by the way, they make this fantastic couple. They're like this Hollywood couple. I love seeing their photos on Facebook. Of course, I'm jealous. Yes, that's a given. We know this. Actually, I'm not jealous at all. I'm very happy for them. Lee and I, by the way, we're the exact same age. How about that? I think we're like 2 months apart. I think I'm older, wiser. No, I wouldn't go that far. All right, you guys, once again, that was Lee Keckner, and you can find her over on Twitter, at Lee Keckner. Why not tweet Lee? Let her know how much you liked her story on Storyworthy, and follow me over there as well. You see how that works? At Storyworthy. And remember to check out StoryworthyPodcast.com and join my mailing list. That's right. Every Monday morning, I'll send you a short email. That's it. No commitments. You don't have to buy me dinner, nothing like that. Just join the mailing list. It's free. Why not? And why not head over to iTunes, leave us a good review, and you can check out past episodes with my dear friend Hannes Finney. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a story by comedian Rick Overton.
So we're going up the stairs, and we're greeted by a girl, a cute girl, who had this sort of comforter on, and she throws a ballet leg up on the railing, and da-da-da, opens it up naked. I'm guessing this is the place.
Again, don't miss Rick Overton next week on Storyworthy. I want to thank everybody here over at Wondery today, including our sound engineer, Sergio Enriquez. And on behalf of our storyteller today, Lee Keckner, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.